Shalom, it's the Naja Nation Hepzibah. What's up, Brotherhood, Rugrat Ray, Rugrat Empire, Thassler, Curtis Hepzibah. Couple of the projects that we got going right now. Shoot, man, today, it's a whole lot of different stuff that I really want to talk about. Give me a second. Let me get myself together here. But it's a whole lot of different stuff I want to talk about, man. I haven't recorded an episode in a while. So, man, I just wanted to get on here, man, and just tell y'all everything that I got on my mind. For the most part, everything that I feel like the Most High God want me to reveal, because once again, I say the revolution won't be televised. There's certain stuff I got in my brain, I got in my head that you'll never hear me say to no one. It's the four people on the planet Earth that ever hear me say it. You understand? Because some stuff you just cannot let out there to the people who you know are trying to end us as a people. And if you tell them in any way, shape, or form, if you just tell the wrong person one time and they go back and tell the wrong person, it'll end horribly for you and your people. So sometimes Most High God puts things on your heart, put things on your mind that you shouldn't necessarily hold from the nation, but that you should hold from individuals that aren't aligned with the mission of your nation. It's the same thing Christ said when the disciples asked him, hey, Christ, why do you tell us stuff plainly, but you speak to other people in parables? Well, I speak to you plainly because there's certain things that you need to understand, and I speak to them in parables because there's certain things I need to understand. I can teach all the same lessons, but in different ways. Because some stuff is just not expedient for me to tell them. It's not going to solve any purposes, okay? The first thing I'm going to talk about to get it out of the way, because it's been irking my nerves. It aggravates me quite a lot. The first thing I'm going to speak on, all right, I'm going to preface it like this. I live in the state of Georgia in the United States of America. In the state of Georgia, we're the last state in the union that's still dealing with election issues. Why? Because the United States Senate right now is 48-50, leaning towards Republicans, and there's two seats up for grabs in Georgia. Both of the Georgia Senate seats up for grabs right now, and you got Kelly Loeffler, David Perdue versus John Ossoff, and I call him the abortion preacher, Raphael Warnock. Here's my issue with the election, right? Now, with this election, I've almost kind of decided, hey, the Supreme Court's already been locked in, so whatever's going to happen on abortion is going to happen on abortion anyway. The Most High God plan is going to be in and out above anybody else's plan anyway. I was more than happy just letting the majority of the country duke this thing out between themselves, and whatever happens just happens. I'm not tripping. It ain't an election that I'm very focused on. Now, if I actually do go vote, which I may, let me explain to you once again my stance on voting. My stance on voting is my same stance on voting as when my Tesla stock asked me, do I want to vote on a pay raise for Elon Musk? Or when my GE stock asked me, should we approve this new CEO? It has nothing to do with morality, because I'm not voting for the king of Israel. I'm voting for the king of a corporation. And the corporation is the United States of America. All right. Once we start seeing this thing as exactly what it is, a corporation and not a country and not a nation that's supposed to be righteous, or a nation that you're actually letting rule over you. Know, right now, we're just in captivity. We don't get to choose who rule over us anyway. Right, so I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna vote for whoever I feel can make me the most money, because this is a corporation. You gotta treat it like what it is, because if you don't, it's gonna cause you more harm than good. When you try to treat this place like it's Israel, like it's supposed to be the home of the righteous seed, it's gonna cause you many more problems than it's worth. Because you can't even see exactly what's going on because you're so blinded by trying to make this place righteous or worrying about how wicked this place is. We all know this place is spiritual Sodom and Gomorrah. It's spiritual Sodom and Egypt. All right, we know this place is wicked as hell. It's Babylon the Great. Even though Babylon is a system, this is Babylon the Great. This is the great whore. This is what we're living in right now. We all know that. But it's a corporation that my people are still a part of, whether it be by our own will or against our own will. Regardless, we're still a part of this corporation. And because we're still a part of this corporation, we have to act as such. Don't be the idiot that's out here saying, well, we're here and we just got to deal with it. Hey, listen, if you can have any control over your lives, over your outcome, then why not have it? Even if it's a small, even if it's a tiny little bitty percentage. Why not, as kings and queens, try to get as much control as you can before we restore to our rightful place in the earth? Now, back to what I was saying, if I did have to choose, I'm more than likely always going to vote for the fiscal conservative. Why? Because I don't exactly enjoy gay marriage. I don't exactly enjoy abortion. Quite frankly, I detest these things. You understand? I detest the sacrifice of the children to the god Molech. All right, I detest the unnatural use of things that happens when you put this prideful homosexuality forefront. That's one thing I hate when Christians say, too. They say, man, listen, they try to treat gay like it's a sin. Let me tell you the difference between gay and stealing, right? But some of my in today's world, I must admit, the lines are getting kind of blurred in a lot of areas. But in 90% of circles, right, if you're a thief, no one's going to be proud of you because you're a thief. No one's going to say, hey, man, you're a thief and you proud. Be proud about the fact you're a thief. Matter of fact, we're going to legalize being a thief. We're going to make being a thief normal. No one says we're going to make being a murderer normal. No one says you should be proud to be a murderer. No one says you should be proud to be a liar, that we're going to make lying normal, bearing false witness against your brother. These are not things that we say that we're going to normalize. That's the same problem that even being a whore, being a whoremonger, right? We somewhat normalize that in our society, but not as much as we normalize homosexuality, and that shouldn't be normalized either. But that becomes the problem with homosexuality. Why you have to put it so far above every other sin is because they're prideful in their sin. The same reason now I'm starting to put whoredom and the sacrifice of the children, the sacrifice of our children unto Molech in that same category, because we're becoming prideful in doing it. We're no longer saying, hey, this is a sin and we're doing it and it's wrong and these people are repenting for their wrong actions. What we're saying is, hey, these people have a right to be as sinful as they want to be. And we cannot live in a society where sinfulness is the norm. Because if you live in a society where sinfulness is the norm, then there are no boundaries. There is no way you can stop anything from happening. Why? Because they're always going to bring up the fact that, hey, well, you said this is wrong. That's why the gay marriage situation was such a horrible situation. That's why I always put it like this. Because now they can say, hey, well, you thought being gay was wrong at some point, so how can you say having sex with a 12-year-old boy is wrong? How can you say having sex with a 3-year-old girl is still rape? You thought that being gay was weird, too. So now me being a pedophile is normal, too. And it's the slippery slope that you've watched yourself go down. All right, but back to it. If I had to pick a side to vote, of course it's going to be a bit more conservative. Why? Because I'm a conservative preacher. Anyone that follows the Bible, any form of the Bible, any form of what they call Judeo-Christian values, is going to be a bit conservative. Other than that, they're lying. They're lying. They don't really believe either one of these two platforms they stand on. They don't really believe, because the Democratic platform is completely against the Bible. Now, the conservative platform is not completely for the Bible, but it's not completely against either, if that makes sense. My problem does not even come down to who you vote for in this election, because like I started my statement by saying I don't really care who you vote for in this election. I ain't trying to sway your opinion one way or another. What I am saying is, this guy, Raphael Warnock, he calls himself a reverend. I ain't going to call him reverend nothing, because he's not a reverend. This guy, Raphael Warnock, he's the preacher who says he's a pro-choice preacher. He's the preacher who says, hey, go sacrifice your children unto the god Molech. He's the preacher that says, hey, yeah, desecrate my God's definition of marriage, and I'll marry a boy, and I'll marry two males in my church. I don't care. I'll marry two females in my church. This is that preacher. This is the preacher that says, hey, you know, even though the Bible says a man that doesn't work, that doesn't eat, that doesn't matter. Guess what? Shut everything down. People can't go to work anymore. Forget all that. The Bible that says, forsake not the assembly. I forget that coronavirus is here, so let's make sure that we don't let people go to church. But they can go to the strip club in Atlanta, though, but they can't go to church. This guy right here is repetitively getting on TV and getting on YouTube, getting on this, getting on that, running his ass everywhere, talking about Reverend Raphael Warnock, talking about God this and God that, and out here this fear man and that fear man. And it is quite evident by his decisions. See, if you want to talk about Mark of the Beast, that's the perfect Mark of the Beast. By his right hand and by his forehead, by his thoughts and by his actions, he's proven that he leans towards the side of the beast. Now, once again, this ain't saying that the mark of the beast is coming, talk about that a little later. But it's just giving you the spiritual version of it. Before we get to the physical version, the spiritual version of the mark, he's already taken. Why? Because in his right hand by his actions and his forehead by his thoughts, he's taken on the way of the beast. Why? To enrich himself. He want to be a senator. He don't want to be a senator to help nobody. He want to be a senator for the amount of money that he can make from being a senator. Probably the same reason his wicked ass is a preacher. Because of the amount of money he's able to bring in from being a wicked-ass preacher. And the reason why I can say this type of stuff against this man is because he's not like a normal preacher, right? He's not like a normal preacher that take his little flock and he just lead his little flock to destruction by way of ignorance, if I should say, right? By way of ignorance. I can somewhat excuse that to a certain extent. If you're doing out of ignorance, if I've never told you, no one else never told you, how can I expect you to know any better? What I cannot give up, what I cannot let go, is this man who I know at least understands that the Bible is against abortions, who I know at least understands that the Bible is against gay marriage, will come out and say, hey, I'm running as a Democrat and I'm a pro-choice pastor. I'm talking about, quote, I'm a pro-choice pastor. That was his words. So he's saying, sacrifice your children unto the god Molech. That's all fine and dandy. We have no problem with that. These heathens that drink the blood. And when I say heathen, I mean it in the hellos, not the ethnos. I mean heathen in the way of they're going against the scriptures. I don't care what the skin color is. I care if you're righteous or you're unrighteous. Now, of course, we have a righteous seed. That's Israel. And that's the seed that's going to be in rulership forever. That's the nation of Israel. That's in the flesh. The seed of David, the seed of Christ in the flesh. Yes, we have that. But we also have a nation that's being built in righteousness. Okay, we have people that's being grafted into that nation in righteousness. I'm not afraid to say it. I got no fear of anyone. I fear God. I fear the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't fear you, Super Bruce. So if you hop in my inbox, you're going to get what you're asking for before you even try. You're going to get exactly what you're asking for because I got these scriptures on deck. Come see me. Come try me. Come see me. Come try me. Anyways, I'm talking about these heathens in the hellos, hell knows, that you're going to allow to do these wicked things to our children that you're not even going to pay attention to because you say sacrifice to the God Molech. Not only that, I know you understand the wickedness that these people take part in. It's the reason why they don't want to get rid of abortion because they need the sacrifice to keep their power. It's the reason why you don't hear the Democrats say much about pedophilia and all these missing children. Because they know they're raping kids to keep their power. This is the difference. So I know this man has been in these inner circles enough to see these things, and he's still willing to participate. Because I know once you get to the level of a finalist for a U.S. Senate position, you know the evils that are happening in the earth. You know the fullness of the evils, almost. You know pretty damn close to the fullness of the evils. Because that's a 100-member body. That's a 102-member body of the most elite of the elite on the earth. They know the inner workings of what's going on in this earth, and that's why they fight so hard one way or another, either for it or against it. And most of them, and I ain't talking about along no party lines, most of them in general fight for it. But the problem I have with him is that he sits up and he claims that he's for my God, and he leads my people, my sheep. As a shepherd, he leads his sheep to the slaughter. He leads his sheep to the slaughter for his own personal gain. For no reason other than he wants to enrich himself. He wants to be a U.S. senator. He wants the big name. It's not enough for him to be a man of the Most High God. He has to bow down to the wishes, to the commands of the wicked in order to say he's a United States senator. And this is where I have a problem with Raphael Warnock. Raphael Warnock is one of those people who the Most High God will see in the last days, and then they'll say, hey, you know, we've preached and we've prophesied about your name for years. The Most High God will say, no, you didn't. You prophesied for the devil for years. Depart from me, I knew you not. Depart from me, I knew you not. And these are the things you're going to hear. What we must realize is that if we don't take the initiative ourselves to go and to read the scriptures, then you're in just as much fault as him. If we don't take the initiative ourselves to go teach the sheep that he's leading astray, then that blood is on our hands as well. Now, once we've tried to teach them and they renounce that and go back to the heathenish ways that he's taught them, then guess what? There's nothing else that we can do. Our fight is over. We just lost. We didn't lose. That was his sheep from the beginning. That's the devil's sheep from the beginning, because the Most High God says what? Your sheep, they hear your voice. His sheep, they hear his voice. They know. So when you speak, your sheep will hear your voice. But Raphael Warnock is leading the sheep to slaughter. He's a fake pastor. He's a fake preacher. He cares less about what the Bible says. He cares about what the world says is correct. He doesn't care that the Bible says we're not even supposed to let the pig carcass touch our flesh, but he's telling you to take a vaccine that's going to put the pig carcass in your bloodstream. That tells you right there he doesn't care about the scripture. He sees what the scripture says. Thou shalt not kill, number one. Not only that, thou shalt not sacrifice their children unto the God Molech. This is one of the first commandments of the Most High God. He sees what the scripture says this, but he could care less. He could care less about what the scripture says. Only thing he cares about is getting what he wants in life, is getting where he wants to be. He has no reverence, no respect, no anything for the seed of the Most High God, for the book of the Most High God, for the commandments of the Most High God, for the laws of the Most High God. He could care less. And here's the thing that we must deal with as a people. We must deal with these preachers on a level we've never dealt with them before, in a way that we must remove ourselves from their finances. And the Most High God is eventually going to do this himself, but in order to do it, he's going to have to send our community to zero. He's going to have to send your grandmama and your mama and your aunties and your sisters and some of your daddies and your uncles too. He's going to send them to zero. Why? Because no matter what, they on that crack of Christianity, they're going to pay that 10% of them wicked-ass preachers every Sunday. And the more you spend your time and your money, your effort, your everything on these wicked-ass preachers, the less that you can spend on the Most High God, and the more these wicked-ass preachers can continue to push their wickedness through the earth. And we can't allow that wickedness to keep getting pushed through the earth. You understand? So in order for us to stop this wickedness from abiding in the earth, we must cut it. We must cut the head off the snake. I said this on Instagram, but everyone likes to run around in the Israelite community and yell, the white man is the damn devil. The white man is the damn devil. Let me tell you something. These preachers in our community have done as much damage as the white man, if not more. Why? Because the white man comes as an enemy, right? The ones who are our enemy, I'm not saying all white people are my enemies because they're not. But the ones who are, the Arabs, the whoever, the other nations other than our nations, who are an enemy, they come in and present themselves as an enemy. If not, at least when I see someone who's not me, I can perceive him to be an enemy at first until he proves himself correct. But when it's your people coming in the name of your God, what are you supposed to do? That's worse than the heathen coming in the name of his God and telling you to listen to him. Why? Because you can at least go back and say, hey, I know that's my enemy. When your brother walk in your face and act, or your so-called brother, your brother in the flesh, maybe not your brother in the spirit, right? Walks up to you and start talking about this, that, and say he's for your God. You're supposed to believe him. He put you in a much bigger hole than your enemy. Your enemy coming against you. My enemy coming against me, at least I know that's my enemy. When my brother, supposed to be my brother, come against me, I ain't even in no fighting mood. I'm in a mood to gain knowledge and have a conversation. But he's in a mood to lead me to the slaughter, not only that, to lead me to the wolves and to give me away to those wolves. And these are the things as a people that we got to stop. So we got to stop supporting people like Reverend Raphael Warnock, the abortion preacher. The abortion preacher, the preacher who says sacrifice your kids on the Molech. Why? All for the Democratic Party. All for the Democratic Party. Now, the next thing I want to speak on is this vaccine. This is one thing I need both sides to understand in order for us to make it through this thing without losing a lot of our brothers and a lot of our sisters. Understand who's pushing this vaccine, who's funding majority of these vaccine studies, especially mRNA vaccines. Who's really in control of the situation? It's a guy by the name of Bill Gates. All right. Now, how did Bill Gates make his money? How did Bill Gates get the majority of his money? We all know what Bill Gates is about, Microsoft computers. Right? So he made the majority of his money off computers. Now, how do you sell antivirus on a computer? What does someone like Bill Gates do? What he does is he sells his computer. He owns a minority share in a whole lot of different antivirus companies, because once he gets to a majority share, then he got to disclose who he is, you know, who owns the different, because he's going to hide it through two or three different companies. Offshore companies, he's going to hide his holders in the antivirus software companies because he can't let anyone know the connection. So when he sells his Windows computers, he sets a code in that says for 5 years, these computers will run perfectly. They'll push off all viruses, no problem. When that fifth year hits, make them very susceptible to viruses. Why? Because I want them to go by the antivirus. I want them to go by the antivirus. So I'm going to put a virus on my computer, lay it dormant. Lay it dormant, keep it real nice and still so they don't even know it's there until they pop up on them. Then they got to go by the antivirus. Now, by the time the virus hopped on one computer, guess what's now happening? That person went and told 10 people, that person went and told 10 people, that person went and told 10 people. Now, all of them are going to buy the antivirus before the virus even pop up on their computer. So I always tell people, in my spiritual feeling, once again, this is not just feeling. A lot of times I don't like to get into my feelings because they vain, if not anyway. But I don't feel like this is the mark of the beast. What I feel like this is them setting up for it. I feel like they give you this vaccine and it causes you so many problems that when they do come out, they actually tell you to your face, hey, this is the mark of the beast. This is a tracking device that we're going to put into your system. We're going to take over your system. We're going to take over your immune system. We're going to take over your endocrine system. All of your systems, we're going to take them over. And we're going to give you and us the ability to control them. But because of all the problems that was caused with this vaccine they're about to give out now, our people are going to have very little choice. Because they're under so much stress, under so much pressure from the amount of excruciating pain they're in from them uploading this virus themselves. They gave them the right to upload a virus to our perfect computer system. See, the Most High God made us the most volatile, the strongest, the biggest, the fastest, the smartest creatures on the face of the earth. We're supercomputers compared to regular computers. We're supercomputers compared to Chromebooks. But when you put a virus on a supercomputer, it becomes less powerful than the Chromebook. So what they're trying to do now is exactly that. They're trying to put the virus on a supercomputer. Why? Because they want their Chromebooks to be powerful enough to overtake the supercomputers. And your Chromebook will never be able to overpower a supercomputer unless you get a virus on that supercomputer. And that antivirus software is going to take over so much control of our supercomputers that now they're in control of at least a very, very good computer, right? The Superman has been taken away, but it's a very, very good computer, and now they're in full control of it. This is what they're trying to accomplish. They're going to get it in tiers. Right now, they're just tricking you. They're straight up tricking you, bamboozling you, fooling you. So in a couple of years, they'll be able to come back and say, hey, well, you know, we know the last vaccine was messed up. We promise. We've been researching this one for a couple of years, and it'll fix all the problems that came with the last vaccine and to deal with the problem of this new pandemic that we're dealing with. The new pandemic they're going to be dealing with in a couple of years. So you have to watch out for the heathen, because the heathen doesn't operate like us. The reason that we can't understand it is because we as a people, we move in 5, maybe 10-year terms, and that's rare. These people move in 50, 60, 70 years in advance. So all the things that they're enacting now, they had these things planned out an entire generation ago. They've been planning out. They've been made their decision on exactly how they was going to act in certain situations, how they was going to handle this situation versus this situation, how they was going to do this, how they was going to get people to take the mark, how they was going to do COVID-19, how they was going to stop people from traveling all over the world. They have all these things planned out. And because they have all these things planned out, they're able to act like that because they're not thinking about the next step. They're thinking about the step we're taking 100 years from now, not tomorrow. We're thinking about the steps that we're going to take tomorrow. They're playing chess. We ain't even playing checkers. We playing like Madden. I love Madden, but we playing like Madden. Not even Madden, because even on Madden, you got to call plays. We playing 2K. We just running up and down the court, calling it by ear, doing as we will. And these people are playing a completely different game than we could ever think about. The game that these people are playing, we wouldn't even understand if we tried to. We couldn't play it if we wanted to play it. But we can if we want to. But as it is, this state we in right now, we can't even understand the game. We don't even know that we're in a game. We think this is really happening out the blue. We really think coronavirus is just some random thing that just randomly happened. Like, they didn't have all this planned out 100 years ago. When you can see them in that, in these steps so quick, the steps that the Israelites told you were coming. When you see them talking about a passport, a vaccine passport, and you wonder, what the hell? When you say, hey, they talking about I can't go to work unless I get this vaccine, what the hell? I can't get on the plane and leave the country unless I get this vaccine, what the hell? Israelites been telling you this since 2016 and before. And it may not be coming right now, but what they're doing right now is they're getting you ready for it. And that's what you can't see. We've been telling you this. They're prepping you for it. Why? Because they cannot throw it on you out of nowhere. They have to normalize you to it first, and then they throw it on you. They put it in TV first. They throw it in the news first. They just throw it on social media first. Just let you get a taste of it. Hey, what do you think about this? Let me see how outrageous they think this is. Let me see how maybe they'll go for this one. Let's see if they go for this. And they test you to see exactly how far they can push you, how fast. That's what the coronavirus is for. Let's see how far we can push them and how fast we can push them there. That's what we need to know, and that's what they're trying to figure out on you. And you told them we can push them. You can push us very far, very fast. That's the problem that we're facing now. The problem that we're facing now is that we've told them you can push us very far, very fast. And so now that's what they're doing. They're pushing this plan along very fast. But we as a people are still lost. We as a people still don't understand that they're playing chess. And they're trying to eliminate us as a people. Why? Because they want to be the chosen seed. They want to be the most powerful people on the face of the earth. And as long as we're here, they cannot be that. As long as we're here, they cannot be the most powerful beings on the face of the earth. They always have to live in fear that in just tomorrow, we wake up out of our slumber and we take back what's ours. Until they exterminate us off the face of the earth, they'll always have that fear. That's why their goal is to exterminate us. Because they can never be better than us. They can never be equal to us. because we are the greatest nation that's ever walked the face of the earth. And once again, I must make this point every time I say that. Being the greatest nation on the face of the earth does not give you the right to mistreat anyone. It does not give you the right to think that you're greater or you're better than anyone. What it does give you the right to do is understand that all this is your fault. Everything that goes wrong in the earth is your fault. Why? Because you're the most powerful being on the earth. To put it in a football reference, I know a lot of y'all watch football. You ain't got to admit it. I'll put it in a football reference. When the Green Bay Packers are playing bad, it's Aaron Rodgers' fault. Why? He's the baddest man on that team. When the Kansas City Chiefs are playing bad, it's Patrick Mahomes' fault. Why? He is the baddest man on that team. When the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play bad, everyone's going to blame it on Brady. Why? He's the baddest man on the team. We the baddest man on the team. So anything goes wrong, it's our fault. It's no one else's fault. It's no one else we can blame. When you the boss, who you supposed to put the blame on? Nobody. It's your fault. Your daddy left you in charge, and you let your little brother and your little cousins fuck everything up. Excuse my language. You let your little brother and your little cousins mess everything up. And then you're going to blame it on your little brother and your little cousin. No, man, you were supposed to be watching them. They weren't supposed to be watching you. But because you wouldn't take control, they took control. Now what? You wouldn't take control. Now they took control. Now what? Now what they supposed to do? They don't know. Like we always like to say, when they say the white man, the oracles were never given to Esau. The oracles were never given to Moab. They were given to Israel. Exactly. Then we stopped teaching them. So now, how is the world supposed to be righteous when the ones who hold the key to righteousness refuse to teach righteousness? We're the only ones who knew how to be righteous, and we refuse to be righteous. So then, how do you expect anything other than wickedness to come from this world? It's no one here to teach righteousness. No one. They don't know it. They didn't get the law. The law is not in their DNA. Righteousness is in our DNA. It's not in theirs. So unless we teach them, how can they know anything? Unless we teach them, how can they know anything? So how are they to blame? We're to blame. We're the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, and we refuse to take control. So what do you expect to happen? As a people, we got to change the way we live. We have to. Because if we don't, we're going to continue to be in a position that's compromised. We're going to continue to be in a position that's unnatural to us. We're going to continue to be in a position of servitude. You're going to continue to see kings on the ground as servants and servants up top as on horses as kings. Everything is going to continue to be turned upside down. The devil is going to continue to be in control. Why? Because you're letting his children be in control of the earth. The devil has no power in this realm. The only power that he has, we submit to him. Why? Because we submit that power to his children in the earth. We're more powerful than Satan. But he somehow convinced us to fear him. Because his wicked ass children. But let me tell you something. As a people, we're more powerful than anything that you could ever imagine. And once we realize it, we're going to be ready to rock and roll. Once we get past blaming everyone else for our problems, and we sit down and look in the mirror and say, hey, man, we wicked as hell. We wicked as hell, and we got to change the fact that we wicked as hell. We have to improve ourselves so that we can go and improve the world, not the other way around. The world's not going to improve and then start treating us correctly. We have to put the earth in all subjection under righteousness. We have to take righteousness and push it across the entirety of the earth, because if we don't, the earth will never know it. That's where all this starts. And all this starts, and I used to preach this message all the time. I got off of it, but I'm going to get back on it now. Where all this starts is when all this bullshit hit the fan. All this bullshit defending, this news going off everywhere and bombs going off everywhere and everything's going wrong. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. And everything is over. And these people show up on these boats. And you say, what in the hell is that coming over the water? That's what the heathens say. What the hell? I haven't seen a boat show up in 100 years. What is this? And we say we are the Israelites. And we serve the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They say, how did you make it through this? I said he came down from the sky, he conquered the earth. We kept the laws, statutes, and commandments of our Most High God. We're willing to show you this way. If you're willing to follow this way, then you will be prosperous. If you're not, you'll be exterminated. This is how the earth becomes righteous. Why? Because they see an example. How did you make it through it? By being righteous. That's how we made it through the worst period in the history of the earth. By just being righteous. We're not a generation later like y'all. We're the same generation that went through the coronavirus, but this is 200 years later. How do we do it? By being righteous. We rid ourselves of the unrighteousness. And therefore, death was no longer applicable to us. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. When our Savior came back, we rid ourselves of sin. Why? Because we rid ourselves of the heathen and his control over us. We rid ourselves of this earthly body and the control it had over us. And we became righteous beings, rulers of the earth. And now we come to teach you how to be righteous. Because the true rulers are back in. The two teachers are back here. The preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, the apostles. We're back. The prophets. We're back on the earth. And we've come to teach you. This is how all this happens. We're teachers. Because you're the greatest doesn't put you above everyone else just to say you're above everyone else. That's not how the Most High God works. He put you above everyone. He taught you things that no one else knew so that you could teach them. Not so that you can hide it from everyone. All right? Do not sit your light under the bed. Put on a candlestick so the entire world can see it. And that's what the Most High God is trying to do right now. He's trying to put us on a candlestick so the entirety of the world can see it. All right? It's a place in the earth right now. This is how I'm in right here. This is the most I'm going to tell you about this. And if you follow me on Instagram, at the Najee Melchizedek, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. But this place on earth right now is untouched. It's unsoiled with wickedness, with unrighteousness. It's almost unlivable, but it's untouched with unrighteousness. It's a righteous place. It's a place you can build up to be a righteous place. Understand this. We have to get ready for these last days that's coming. And all that's not just prepping stocks. And some of that is traveling the world and seeing what the Most High God got for us. Some of that is learning how to just let go and let God. Some of that is planning financially. And people always say, oh, no, finances can't save you. I never said they could. But what can save you is you prepare yourself with every tool that the Most High God gives you. If the Most High God gave you a tool, he gave you that tool for a reason. He didn't give it to you for fun. He didn't give it to you to play around. He gave you that tool for a reason. Use all the tools that we're given, and we must go build a nation. We must go build a nation in the land that's not been defiled by the heathen. And that's very few and far between. That's very few and far between. All right, but eventually the Most High God will come back here, scorch the earth, and cleanse it of the heathen's disgusting waste and filth, wickedness. But until that time, it is a place that's not been defiled with the wickedness. We must find a way to make our way to that place. Shalom, Mr. Nine, the Nation Episode, South of Brotherhood, Wherever Empire. Godspeed to you. I love you all, man. I'm going live on Instagram at least twice a week. Follow me on Instagram at the Najee Melchizedek, at the Najee Melchizedek. You can follow the Nation Hepsibah as well as That's Lacratic Hepsibah. You can follow all these different sites. We post different things to all the different ones. Listen, we're going to start doing a lot more. I got a lot more stuff planned, but the Most High God just got to give me the ability to push it forward. And once he give me the okay and the ability to push it forward, I'll be there and I'll be pushing it forward for the people. All praise to the Most High Power. I love y'all. I'm going to get this posted up soon. Y'all be blessed, man. Most High God bless y'all. All praise to the Most High Power. Godspeed.